Little Thunder notes that the Lakota language contains a keen understanding of human frailties while providing ways to strengthen character and integrity. It's the elders who preserve the traditional values like Wachitanka. In Indian country, elders are highly respected and cared for, and if you get the chance to speak with a traditional Lakota elder for very long, the conversation may well come around to treaty rights. The issue of land rights and treaties is paramount to many Native people in South Dakota. South Dakota Public Broadcasting's Gary Ellenbolt now takes us to the Yankton Sioux Tribe in an attempt to look at the treaties from the perspective of tribal people.
Beneath the top of Fort Randall Dam in Charles Mix County, Generator 1 joins nearly a dozen other machines in a low, steady hum. That quiet belies its responsibility to provide power to southeast South Dakota and parts of six other states. On the other side of the thick concrete dam, water rushes through huge pipes to run the generators and provide the electricity. The Fort Randall Dam creates the southern boundary of Lake Francis Case, which stretches northwestward to Chamberlain. But the boundaries of the neighboring Yankton Sioux Reservation are a little more difficult to define. Just over 200 years ago, the tribe laid claim to over 13 million acres, stretching from the Des Moines River to the Missouri River. Now, to some people outside tribal lands, there's no reservation there at all, and no reason for sovereignty.
What?
But Sam Weddle, the tribe's economic development coordinator, sees it differently. In the tribal council chambers, located at the Yankton Sioux headquarters in the small town of Marty, Weddle points to a map on the paneled wall that comprises the southern half of Charles Mix County.
Yeah, there it is right there on the wall. And the Supreme Court has ruled for us, and they've diminished it somewhat by 160,000 acres.
Those 160,000 acres that created part of the northern border of the reservation was originally ceded to the tribe, and according to tradition and an 1894 treaty, the acres were to be saved for tribal members yet to be born.
As people were born, they were supposed to get 40 acres, and then as they were married and like that, they got 160 acres. But back at that time, the government had a policy of trying to assimilate us to the point they were trying to take away our status as a sovereign.
According to University of South Dakota Professor Emeritus Herbert Hoover, the tribe sold that 160,000-acre parcel to the federal government in 1896. He says a majority of the tribe approved the sale, and the Yankton Sioux received $600,000. The tribe has been in and out of court against the state and federal governments for much of its existence over such issues as removal of burial sites, jurisdiction of police, and whether the reservation is a reservation at all. Hoover says the state government tried to disestablish the Yankton Sioux Reservation boundaries in 1996.
I was there as the expert witness for history. The state argued that tribal government had not been continuous. They were going to get at it that way. But with a little luck, I was able to prove that it had never been interrupted. It went all the way to the Supreme Court, and Sandra Day O'Connor wrote in favor of the tribe as recommended by Judge Lawrence Pearsall here in the district.
2 years later, the state and tribe were back in court, but this time the tribe lost. In 1998, the boundaries of the Yankton Sioux Reservation were officially disestablished. Like any tribe existing under government treaties, the Yankton Sioux work to preserve their autonomy and want their treaties and individual rights preserved. Charmaine Whiteface of Rapid City studies those rights for the group Defenders of the Black Hills. She's also the spokesperson for the Sioux Nation Treaty Council.
The treaty was made purposely for us to continue to survive as a nation. That was the original intent. Otherwise, without our treaty and without our land area and those relationships, then we just become brown Americans, part of the American system, and we're no longer Ocheti-Shakoi.
Despite court challenges and alleged ongoing mistreatment, the Yankton Sioux are a peace-loving people, as shown by their flag. It's a brilliant scarlet, a traditional native color of hospitality. The banner's main color comes from a tradition of painting part of a teepee red if travelers could expect to be fed, or if that teepee was the gathering point for a feast or celebration. The outline of a peace pipe appears in yellow, and there's an inscription that the tribe is land of the friendly people of the Seven Council Fires. Again, Sam Weddle.
You know, the tribes is one. When you say the tribes, like here nowadays, they say the tribes. They say Flandreau tribe, Siston tribe, Pine Ridge tribe, Rosebud tribe. But actually, we're all one tribe. And that we've just got seven bands. There's seven bands within the seven council fires.
Charmaine Whiteface, Treaty Council spokesperson, says through the years, all Lakota, Dakota, and Nakota have aimed for peace. She says they signed treaties with the U.S. government in good faith.
The United States asked for peace treaties with us, and that's what we signed, and the last one was the 1868 peace treaty with us. And we accepted the loss of 13 and a half states in order to have this peace. And yet, the United States was the one that came in with their soldiers in 1874, and the President of the United States at that time, Ulysses S. Grant, told the soldiers, don't keep the miners or the pioneers out of this area in violation of the treaty.
That 1868 treaty, known as the Fort Laramie Treaty, left the Black Hills and all of western South Dakota under Lakota control. Whiteface says the Black Hills have special significance to all seven bands.
They are affected by the Black Hills because all of us consider the Black Hills sacred, whether they are Nakotas living in Canada or the Yanktons, you know, in the southeast South Dakota. We all consider the Black Hills sacred, so all of us were very much concerned when the Supreme Court tried to give us money for the Black Hills. You can't sell something that's sacred.
In 1980, the U.S. Supreme Court awarded the Great Sioux Nation $106 million for loss of the Black Hills. Whiteface says that decision recognized the validity of the 1868 treaty, and the Supreme Court acknowledged government wrongdoing in breaking the treaty.
In the 1980 Supreme Court decision said, a more ripe and rank case of dishonorable dealings will in all probability never be found in our history, meaning the history of the United States. And it brought hope. It brought hope that the United States still had some integrity. And it brought hope that maybe justice would finally prevail. What happened next was the Supreme Court said, okay, we're not going to give you the land back, we're going to give you money. And we could not accept money because the Black Hills are sacred. That's like trying to sell your child or your wife or your mother. You can't sell things that are sacred.
The tribes in South Dakota are among the poorest people in the U.S., but they still refuse to accept the court-ordered payment from the federal government. Today, with interest, the award would be worth nearly $600 million. The Great Sioux Nation refuses to take money for sacred land, but for many like Whiteface, treaty rights are about even more than land claims. She says treaty rights are tied to human rights. She says this is the same hope for people around the world.
Right now, the United Nations is looking at a declaration on the human rights of indigenous people. Although in 1948, the United Nations passed a universal declaration on human rights, the human rights of indigenous people have still been trampled on and violated all over the world throughout these years. Human rights are the right to be who the Creator made us to be. That is a human right.
Whiteface says the Lakota, Dakota, and Nakota people will continue to exercise their rights as a nation. She says, besides passing on the language and culture to the youth, the tribes will also pass on the struggle for treaty rights and for return of sacred lands that were taken from them.
Tribes of Dakota will return in a moment.